3. It's 11:30. Today is Proms Bach Day. 4 concerts spread across 2 venues. Later it's the turn of the Royal Albert Hall, but now from Cadogan Hall in London, with the first of today's 4 proms, here's Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall as we begin our Bach Day at the Proms with a banquet. 2 concerts back-to-back filled with the sublime inventiveness, wit and beauty of his 6 Brandenburg concertos. The performers are the players of the English Baroque Soloists, directed by Sir John Eliot Gardner. Let's start with Bach's own words, written in March 1721, after a fortuitous meeting with the Margrave of Brandenburg. "As I noticed that Your Highness took some pleasure in the small talents that heaven has given me for music, and as Your Highness deigned to honour me with the command to send Your Highness some pieces of my composition, I have then taken the liberty of rendering my most humble duty to Your Royal Highness with the present concertos, which I have adapted to several instruments. Begging Your Highness most humbly not to judge their imperfection with the rigour of the fine and delicate taste that the whole world knows Your Highness has for musical pieces, but rather to infer from them in benign consideration the profound respect and the most humble obedience that I try to show Your Highness therewith." Hard to keep a smile out of the voice when reading those carefully wrought words. And note that Bach went to the trouble of writing them in fashionable French. The hoops, well, they may have changed since 1721, but great artists still have to jump through them. With the rigour of our fine and delicate taste for musical pieces, today we give Bach's Brandenburg concertos very benign consideration indeed. The concertos were more than just adapted to several instruments. They're a sort of young Margrave's guide to the orchestra. More about their composition later, but now let's begin with the first of the concertos, which takes us on a grand regal hunting party. John Eliot Gardner directs the English Baroque Soloists in Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 1 in F major.
Thank you.
music for the great outdoors. Well, it came in and went out again. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 1, played by the English Baroque soloists, directed by John Elliott Gartner. Well, they're soloists, so we're talking about first among equals here, but I must give a name check to the wonderful horn players, Annika Scott and Joe Walters. Principal oboe Michael Niesemann and violino piccolo Kati Debreceni. Now, before we hear the next concerto, there has to be a certain amount of discreet hustle and bustle on the stage as everything is rearranged for strings, no horns to be heard again. And John Elliott Gardner now joins me to talk about these concertos with several instruments. John Elliott, you promised me that the horn players, under their smart shoes, had cloven hooves.
Yeah, and the bottom half are really goats.
They were really, I mean, you made splendid use of the space here. They were up in the gallery behind the main body of the players.
Well, they're interlopers, aren't they? They're gate crashers. There's quite a civilized party going on stage, and these two centaurs have come in sweaty from the hunt and playing havoc. They're not playing in the same rhythm. They don't play at all in the same... is that right? You prefer that?
Okay. Splendid.
They're just hooligans, really. And then gradually the orchestra tames them, and that's why they come down. And then they have a sort of rash of disobedience in the last movement when they can't quite control their exuberance. And so that ridiculous trio when they're playing... It's like a sort of lot of ducks in the oboes sort of quacking away. But it's just typical of Bach's huge inventiveness and the way that he turns a concerto form really on its head. I mean, wise musicologists talk very learnedly about the influence of Vivaldi on Bach. It was just a sort of point of departure, I think, with him. He just got a tremendous stimulus out of the ritornello form. But then he turned the whole form on its head and made it a vehicle for his own wonderful flights of imagination and fantasy.
And you've turned that last movement a little bit on its head.
I haven't.
It was delightfully longer and more al fresco than often heard it.
I just find that it's a bit of a downer to end on the minuet, and I just love that third movement so much. So we did a little sort of rather cheeky reprise of half of that movement just to a feel-good factor. I just love it.
But something I noticed, I'm sure everybody in the hall noticed, that today, when you've got a visual element, which sadly our listeners at home don't have, and I'm going to explain it now, the horn players get a wonderful practical rest during that...
The second movement.
The last movement, have a second subject with the lower strings playing this graceful dance.
Yeah.
And actually, at the back of the stage, the two horn players are taking the opportunity to shake the damp out of the tubes.
That's correct.
Now, that's Bach being
practical.
You're
a singer, you can't do that. Not allowed to.
No. So he's being very practical at all times.
Well, he's always practical, Bach. He pushes things to the limit because he demands that singers, as you know very well, perform with the acrobatic facility of a violinist.
And we never breathe.
And you never breathe. And he expects his oboes and his flutes and his violins to sing in the way that only a singer can do. I mean, he does expect the world of you, but that's the huge challenge and the delight of performing Bach.
Well, you've been very practical. I've got to ask you, how have you made the decisions to how to program these six concertos across two concerts?
Oh, well, you know, there's lots of ways to string a cat. I think that this particular order works rather well. I think one is a good starter, and I think two is a brilliant finisher. Six is probably my favourite, which we're about to hear any moment, because it's such a contrast in sonority. It's in completely different sonority with these low instruments, and two violas like tenors over the top. And it's a brilliant, brilliant sonority.
And it's another dance piece. There's dancing throughout these Brandenburgs. Even if you can't actually do any steps to them, it's hard to sit still.
Absolutely. It is essentially dance music.
Right, well, you and I are going to sit out the next dance, in fact. So let us leave the English Baroque soloists with their two female tenors on viola, I should say, to play Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 6 in B-flat major.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is so lovely to be able to record such a rapturous response to that performance of Brandenburg Concerto No. 6, played by the lower strings of the English Baroque soloists, and I think we should have a little flurry further for the two lady tenor viola players, Jane Rogers and Stella Wilkinson. With me on stage is the founder and director of the English Baroque Soloists, John Elliott Gardner. John Elliott, I think you've enjoyed that even more than I did. And you did say, you did offer a hostage to fortune and preempted the interviewer's naff question. You said that was your favourite. Why?
Well, I'm a viola player monkey, and it's a glorious piece to play. And there's something about the way that Bach plays with the beat and contradicts it, establishes a strong pulse in the lower instruments, in both the outer movements, and then contradicts it with the two violas, having such a funky time with it. It's infectious, and it's gloriously improvisatory. It feels as if it's written in out of the air in the moment. Of course it's not, it's highly crafted.
And with those chugging bass lines and the outer movements, he's taking us really into the world of the village hop. It could be a country dance, could be a Bruegel painting, but within that is this incredible harmonic inventiveness and emotional subtlety.
Well, we go back to Vivaldi. That, you know, Vivaldi is hugely popular, which always slightly baffles me. Why? Because I think he's a rather boring composer compared to Bach. not as bad as Telemann, but anyway.
There'll be letters,
But Bach just sort of wipes the board, because he takes on Vivaldi at his own game. I mean, the two things about Vivaldi which are just so amazing, and I fully admit this, are the motor rhythms, this fantastic sort of physicality of the rhythmical pulse. And Bach does that just as well, and in spades, actually. And the other thing is that Vivaldi writes these glorious slow movements with wonderful lyricism, sort of Italian, Venetian lyricism. And again, Bach can beat him his own game. And for imaginative scoring, I mean, these whole six Brandenburgs, they're so much more inventive in terms of the permutations of instruments. I mean, the one we're just about to hear, No. 4, is totally improbable. It's bonkers, really, if you think of two recorders being pitted against a violin. I mean, recorders, by definition, are like fixed-wing aircrafts. They can't really adjust their dynamics. A violin essentially can. And somehow Bach makes it work. And he pairs them off, first against the two recorders against the solo violin, and then against the two Ripieno violinists. And the textures, I mean, the only reason I conduct this piece is because it needs somebody outside the playing circle, it seems to me, to referee the balance a little bit.
Well, I want to ask you about the conducting. We've had two down, four to go across these two concerts. And I'm going to take your own words in vain here. You've said in the past you resisted doing the Brandenburgs for a long time, saying that not all of them are grand and complex enough to require a conductor.
Well, that's
absolutely
true.
So what's your role?
Well, it's chamber music. Essentially, it's chamber music. I'm there as a simply sort of primus inter pares to make sure that the rhythmical impulsion is maintained, firstly, and second, to do the balancing, and to be a kind of mirror to the players to see if what they want to achieve on stage is actually being replicated in the hall. So I spend half the time in rehearsal back there in the audience listening and balancing and coming back and adjusting the proportions of one to another. But you can only really do that with a group of players whom you trust absolutely and who are soloists in their own right. And this whole project grew out of doing the Bach Cantata Pilgrimage in 2000, when we got to know, first of all, each other very, very well, and B, we got to know Bach pretty well too. And the joy of a jam session of making music together is infectious, and it came straight out of that Cantata Pilgrimage.
Well, Katia Debreceni has been your leader and virtuoso soloist throughout this project.
She certainly has.
And she started off playing a violino piccolo.
She did.
And after a swift rest, because no violin's required in No. 6,
she's
back with
stage,
a full-sized violin.
And she's got the stonking part now, because the fiddle part of the fourth concerto is the most virtuosic of the lot. And you'll see, she just, it's like falling off a log for her.
Well, she's busy tuning, so she hasn't realised there's any pressure at the moment. Well, the orchestra is now assembled, and it is more like an orchestra for this concerto.
A little bit, but yes. I should be very discreet anyway.
Right. Let us now hear Brandenburg Concerto No. 4, and let me give an advance name check to the soloists, because the recorders do have to compete with this amazing violin part. Our recorder players are Rachel Beckett and Catherine Latham, and the solo violinist is, as I said, once again, Kati Debreceni. The English Baroque soloist, directed by John Elliott Gardiner, describing himself earlier as primus inter pares, first among equals, in Bach's fourth Brandenburg Concerto, probably composed in the happy times of Bach's first 3 years working for the courtly chapel in Köthen from 1717. A contemporary account of Bach's regular rehearsals for his team of musicians remarks that the princely capella in this town makes an example that even the most famous virtuosi rehearse and exercise their things together beforehand. More from John Elliott Gardiner on the demands of these exuberant works when we return for a second bite at the Brandenburgs. But for now, our famous virtuosi are going to take a break. We'll be back at 1:30 for concertos numbers 3, 5 and 2. But meanwhile, it's back to Broadcasting House and Vaughan Savage.
Catherine Bosch. And if you'd like to submit a review of the prom we've just heard, then please visit bbc.co.uk/proms and click on share. Yes, everyone is now truly a critic. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 90 minutes now before the news at 1. And don't forget that you can hear the remaining three Brandenburg concertos at 1:30 this lunchtime when we return to Cadogan Hall in London. And I don't see that we should allow the break in proceedings to prevent us from enjoying more Bach from the English Baroque soloists under the baton of John Elliott Gardiner through recordings of Bach cantatas made in December 2000 in Cologne with the Monteverdi Choir. This is BWV 61. Thank you.
dies große Geheimnis. Verwundert, o Menschen, dies große Geheimnis, der höchste Beherrscher erscheint der Welt, der höchste Beherrscher, der höchste Beherrscher erscheint der Welt. Dies große Geheimnis, der höchste Herrscher erscheinet der Welt. Der erscheinet dir Welt, der höchste erscheinet dir Welt. Der höchste
erscheinet ihr Welt, erscheinet ihr Welt, ihr ist der
Gottes Herrlichkeit und Thron, sein eingeborener Sohn. Der Held aus Juda bricht herein, den Weg mit Freudigkeit zu laufen und uns Gefallene zu erkaufen. O heller Glanz, o Wunder, wunderbarer Segensschein.
Vermögen stark zu machen, in uns schwachen, in uns Schwachen. Sei geschäftig, das Vermögen in uns Schwachen stark zu machen, in uns Schwachen. In uns Schwachen stark zu machen.
Bach's cantata number 62, Nun komm der Heidenheiland. The tenor was Jan Kobo, the bass Dietrich Henschel with Joanna Lunn, soprano, and William Towers, alto. The English Baroque soloists and Monteverdi Choir were conducted by John Elliott Gardner. And there'll be more Brandenburg concertos from the English Baroque soloist at 1:30 this afternoon, numbers 3, 5 and 2, live from Cadogan Hall in London. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's coming up to a couple of minutes after one. Time for the news with Vaughan Savage.
Aid agencies working to help those affected by the devastating floods in Pakistan say efforts to tackle disease must be stepped up after the first case of cholera was reported. The medical charity Médecins Sans Frontières says it's treating every case of diarrhea as cholera as a precaution. The country's Prime Minister Yusuf Raza Gilani has said 20 million people have been made homeless by the floods. The number thought to have died in last weekend's huge mudslides in northwest China has risen to more than 1,200. Officials say hundreds more are still missing in Gansu province. Police chiefs and rank-and-file officers have said private sector-style bonuses have no place in policing. The Association of Chief Police Officers and the Police Federation have both called for a fairer system of recognising people's work after reports that £150 million was paid out in bonuses last year under a scheme introduced in 2002. The Ministry of Defence says a soldier from the Queen's Gurkha Engineers has been killed in southern Afghanistan. He was shot dead in Nadi Ali district while serving with 2-1 Engineer Regiment. His family's been told. The weather. Sunny intervals will continue across northern Scotland and Northern Ireland. Elsewhere, scattered, sometimes heavy showers will clear southwards through the afternoon, leaving most places dry with some sunshine. The BBC News and Weather at 3 minutes past one.
With Vaughan Savage. Well, now here's Sarah Walker to introduce some more performances given by some of Radio 3's new generation artists.
With a composer as prolific as Johann Sebastian Bach, it's not remotely difficult to devote an entire day on Radio 3 to his music. But what's perhaps more impressive about Bach is not the amount of music he wrote, but his lasting appeal. He's never gone out of fashion, and today's young performers seem keen to show their devotion and find new perspectives on his work. Radio 3's new generation artists are no exception, and violinist Ty Murray is going to start us off today with one of Bach's sonatas, number 6 in G major. She's joined in this recording by harpsichordist Mahan Esfahani, and his role is a tremendously important one too. In fact, the third of the 5 movements is for keyboard alone. So, a fine showpiece for both musicians, and Ty Murray's superb tone and virtuosity are certainly put to good use here.